Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Hey everyone, I'm Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is a Tremendous Talk podcast.
Each week, join us as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond while we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk.
Let's go. Welcome back, everyone, to another lovely Tremendous Talk. Ash, it's nice to see you again. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sleepy today, if I'm being quite honest, but I think that's like a normal midweek kind of feeling.
It is Thursday. Feels like a Thursday.
Close to the weekend, though. Late week. Yeah. But whatever. We could be tired if we want to. It's something in the something to do with space, I heard.
Are we human or are we dancer?
I ask myself that quite a bit. But in a sense, because it is AM when we're recording this, this is kind of our morning show.
Yes.
Which is a perfect segue to the guests that we have today. This week on the episode, we have Theo Iyer. And you can find Theo in the critically acclaimed series, The Morning Show, on Apple TV+.
Woo! We are so excited to chat with Theo today on his journey to The Morning Show, being in this absolutely freaking lootly incredible ensemble of actors and creatives, as well as representation in entertainment.
Yeah, and earlier this year, he was also nominated for a SAG Award, which is very exciting. Hopefully, we can get into the details of all that. But for now, welcome to the Tremendous Talk podcast, Theo Iyer.
Woohoo!
Woo! Well, Theo, welcome to the Tremendous Talk podcast. First of all, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm good. I'm enjoying the warmer weather here in Los Angeles. I'm not sure for you guys.
I'm also in Los Angeles. Ash is in Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Nice. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Except we got a weekend of rain ahead. Did you see that? I don't know.
I saw that.
I'm so sad.
Just know whatever you get is going to hit us like a day later. So
yeah, that's true.
Wait, before we start,
can I legally do this? Hold on. Let's see.
I have to. So many things that could be happening right now. Oh, we can't hear it because of noise cancellation. Oh,
man. I'm trying to play the morning show opening title sequence because the first time I heard this, I had to stop and I was like, who wrote this? This is a banger. Like what a way to start a show, because it's just a title sequence, right? Like there's nothing happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like images and shapes floating across the screen. But man, I was roped into this TV show so hard from that opening title sequence.
No, it's great. It's great. I mean, anytime it comes on, you know exactly, like, your mood changes. You're like, oh, it's about to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, like, if I'm in a bathroom or somewhere with a mirror or something and the sequence comes on, I'm like,
yep.
Welcome to the morning news.
Yep, totally.
Actually, with that said, Theo, let's get into your brain a little bit about like pop culture and your like past and things that you like. But what is like the best opening of a show of all time to you? If you could think, what easy, comes to mind rather?
Easy answer. My favorite show of all time is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I mean like that's another show that, come on, you hear that song and you're like,
yeah.
You know, the images start flooding in of the basketball court and like the taxi cab. You know what I mean? And like, so iconic.
That is one, a very quick response. So I believe you. I think that's a genuine answer. That's awesome.
Yeah, no,
but also, yeah, that's pretty fire. That's a great one to have on deck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I remember there was, you know, that chair that he sits on and it like goes in a circle.
Yes.
There was a chair at Chuck E. Cheese that he also like sat on and went in a circle. And I remember I'd always sit in it and sing the theme song.
Oh, wow.
I heard recently that, or was it like last year, they were like Airbnb-ing out the house that he like pulls up to in the opening. Yeah,
I had no idea. I know that they do that. Like they do promotions where it's like they made like the Barbie Mojo Dojo Casa house and
yeah,
they made, like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
Ninja
yeah.
Turtle sewers. But Fresh Prince Mansion, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also like don't want it to be a thing though. Like I want it to stay in my head the way it is in my head. Like I
I
saw an
know.
Arnold art from Ar Hey Arnold. I saw an
Yeah.
Arnold house and I was like, don't build it. Please, I don't need it
Oh,
in real
yeah. Oh,
life.
his room was sick, though. I
It
wouldn't
was.
mind. I wouldn't mind if I'm being honest.
Speaking of things that make you sick, that was a horrible
Nah, let's roll
segue.
with
Ew.
Can we go through a quick speed round? I'm like
Yeah.
speed, like a roller coaster makes you sick. I don't know. It went there. Improv
Okay.
brain. But
I
yeah,
saw
we're
the
going.
connection. I
Thank
get
you. I
it. I
appreciate it. It's
respect it.
an A to C
Yeah.
connection. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Same kind of quick, fast-paced thing. What makes you tremendous?
What makes me tremendous? Wow, that's not an easy question to answer because I don't know. I mean, I think that when I look in the mirror and I see a version of myself that feels authentic and true to myself, that's when I feel tremendous. And I think it's as simple as that.
Wow, that was a very clear and concise answer. I feel like you knew
Yeah,
exactly
that's just what came to my mind.
what you're talking about. I love that. Okay. So what's your favorite pizza topping?
Definitely like Pepadews, like a sweet and like sour sort of, there's a pizza place here in LA that does it, and I think they're called Pepadews. They're like
Oh, okay.
sour and sweet all at the same time.
I don't think I've ever
Oh,
eaten one of these.
I literally
Yes.
just Googled it.
I am
I've
literally
seen these. I've
going to the
never
market
eaten.
right now.
Yeah, my fiance is Italian or Italian American, and they're like we always have them in the fridge because she.
Oh,
Wait, I want to
gotcha.
know now too. What is like a cultural staple that you have in your fridge at all times?
Ooh.
Well, I'm from South Africa originally, so there's like a I guess it's called a chutney, but it's a condiment and it stays in your fridge after you open it. It's cold and it's called fruit chutney. And it's usually made from like peaches and like I think there's a few other fruits in there. And I can't remember if it's fermented or not, but basically it's like you could like substitute ketchup with it. You can eat it with anything. You know what I'm saying? You can eat it with fries, you could eat it with pizza, you can eat it on your burger, like it doesn't matter. And it's called, I think the brand is MS Balls Fruit Chutney.
Oh, I
Okay.
love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Law, can I know a staple in your house too while we're talking about this? Let's all go
Like
around.
what I keep in my
Yeah, like
Kewpie
a
mayo.
cultural thing. Yeah.
It's not really like Filipino or Indian, but it's like always in my fridge. I love that umami mayo
Yes.
flavor.
Yes.
I keep like a dark soy sauce and like a specific kind of vinegar to make like my adobo at home. And then I also have I don't know what they're called, but it's like a tin of just like Indian spices and stuff.
Oh
So
yeah,
I could
that's
just pop,
awesome.
pop, 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 you know?
Every Indian home has one of those.
Yeah. I like
Yeah,
I don't
they're
cook a lot of
beautiful.
Indian food, but if I ever had to, I'm ready, you know.
Just the fact that it's there in your house, it's fine.
Yeah,
Yes.
I
I'm
always
always
ready
have
to go.
vinegar, like a spiced vinegar. And I always have the coconut. It's like a coconut kind, it's not caramel, but it's like a coconut topping, like a jam, like coconut jam
Oh, I
or
know
bread.
exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Delicious stuff. Okay. Speaking of, what's
Speaking
your
of
favorite
food.
comfort food?
Yeah,
Any
favorite
comfort
comfort
food? What do
food.
you eat when you're sad or when you're super happy?
When I comfort food, I'd probably say like something probably Thai. Like I really love Thai food. I think it's hearty, there's so many different flavors. And whether it's like a curry or I really gravitate more towards Asian cuisine. It's so funny because like my family gives me a hard time because we're Indian. But like my mom cooks Indian food. And I grew up eating Indian food, but like that's actually not what my palate gravitates to. So like I know a lot of people like when you think about comfort food, they want to eat like their home cooking. But
Yeah.
like I don't eat my mom's cooking now, and she gives me the hardest time about it. And she takes it like as a personal offense.
Oh.
But yeah, and probably any sort of Asian cuisine would be, my comfort food choice.
It's the
Amazing.
rice, man. The rice and like the
Yeah.
noodles, it just makes me feel okay inside.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Also,
Okay.
like physically, I never get a stomach ache with Asian food. I just gotta throw that out there. I'm always ready to go. I'm good.
What's your current TV show that you're binging and you're not allowed to say your show?
All right. What am I watching right now? We're catching up on The Bear. We're way behind on The Bear. What else? Oh, we started it, but like barely got into it. Shogun.
Nice.
I heard great things about it. So
Yeah.
yeah, those two.
Oh, I love this. Okay, you want to, Law, you want to move around? I feel like
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep asking you questions
I
otherwise.
know I'll be honest, the lightning rounds are fun because it's
Yeah.
just like a bunch of random stuff that we get to learn about you in quick
Yeah.
succession. But you know, we want to highlight you on this podcast. You know, Tremendous Talk Podcast, a big thing for us is just like giving, you know, Asian creators or like any kind of like person of color a small platform to just talk and share their story. And I love your Instagram bio. I think it's done something like just a brown man trying to make it in America. Boy, do I feel that in my core. You know, I was born here, but damn, like I feel that in my core. But that said, we're also celebrating that, you know, you're on this show that's critically acclaimed, has a stacked cast, right? Like I think is you have Hasan Minhaj, you got Greta Lee's on there, Jen Aniston, all this stuff. And I'm wondering for you, getting to that point in your career after having, you know, started, like I think you said you wanted to become an actor because of your experience in high school, right? And so now you're here. How do you feel looking back at kind of like the leaps and bounds that you've journeyed through to get to the morning show and beyond?
I mean, the word that always comes to mind when I think about it from that perspective is just like it's miraculous because, I was born in South Africa. There's five generations of my family there. Even before that, like my ancestors were brought there, through the, indentured slave trade and that sort of thing. And like, it's just to know that's like where I come from and that's my bloodline, and then to just, immigrate to the United States. And my family was only supposed to be here for 3 years, and we've been here for like 28 years, and to grow up here and discover a passion for art and acting and that sort of thing, and then like be able to go study it in college and live and work in New York as an actor, and then come to LA and live and work in LA as an actor, and to now be on the show. It's just like you can't, I cannot, it doesn't make logical sense in my brain when I try and think about how these dots connect. And so it just, it's, I just have nothing but gratitude. And, I think that my journey just sort of highlights, like, if you have the conviction and the trust and the faith that like what your passion is, what your truth is leading you in a direction that is ultimately going to lead to your ultimate fulfillment. If you trust that, I'm not necessarily saying that like everything's going to be good and everything's, because trust me, I've faced my fair share of challenges, as all artists do, in the tumultuous journey, of an artist's life. But like, I've had no choice but to just trust it. And I'm just grateful that, I have this opportunity now. And it's honestly been just incredible. It's been incredible to work on a show like this.
Heck yeah. Love to
Great
hear.
answer.
Love to
Oh my
hear
gosh.
that.
Can you take it back to your parents? Like, you started out in theater, kind of on a whim, and then you got more interested and more interested. I know when I was in school, my mom was like, "Go take acting, like learn how to use your voice and stuff." But then in college, when I decided to do it, she's like, maybe there's something else you could do." What was that for you? Because you went to Tisch, man. Like, what was that?
Well, I mean, from my parents' standpoint, like I'm sure you guys, understand this too. It's like immigrant parents, when they move here, they don't really think like the next generation, their offspring is going to put themselves in a harder position than they're currently in. You know what I mean? Like my dad came here like with a guaranteed job. My dad's like an IT, that sort of thing. And
Awesome.
he's always had a stable job. And I'm sure that he envisioned for, I'm the oldest child in our family, like that I was going to do something quote unquote practical or set myself up even better in life than he had the opportunities to. But it really surprised me in high school when I, started to garner this passion and start doing plays and stuff like that, that my parents were like open-minded. And I think the thing that really sort of like was a defining moment was when my drama teacher in high school like actually talked to I didn't know this actually until a couple of years ago, my parents told me, but my drama teacher in high school, I think like after I did a play one night, my parents came and saw it, and I think he like had a conversation with my parents, was like, I just want to tell you that like Theo has something here. And, you know, if you encourage him and if you support him, I think he could really, you know, do this. And I mean, I'm getting chills right now talking about it, but like, you know, I think that it really made my parents reflect and be like, if this is what he's naturally gravitating to, we're going to support him. And like, my parents have supported me all the way through. And they've always been a soft place to land. And I know it's like an anomaly, you know, in the sort of immigrant parent to child relationship. But yeah, I mean, you know, like they were so supportive when I was going to college for it. And I'm the first member of my family, my extended family, my immediate family to like go to college in America. So they didn't even know like what that means really. They just know like, you know, they knew that I was going to college, but they didn't realize like, oh, I'm going to like a conservatory program to like really train and immerse myself as an actor. And even for myself, like I was like, yeah, I'm going to New York, but like, you know, it's going to be a great experience. I'm going to get a strong foundation, but I had no idea that it was going to like totally shift and shape my lens on, you know, what it means to be an artist and live the life of an artist.
Hold on, I'm going to hijack this. Let's talk about generational healing really quick. That is awesome. Are you kidding me? Like the first person in your extended family to go to college, not only did you go to Tisch, NYU, like just your family support and everything. How that literally is so healing to everybody who ever hears this. Like, please tell this to everybody. Has any of your other family like chose to pursue the arts because you've set this incredible, beautiful example for the family as well?
Well, you know, my mom is one of nine, so I have a lot of like older cousins, you know, cousins' kids sort of thing. So we're a big family. And I think that the younger generation, my family specifically, you know, really looks to me as a beacon of possibilities, I'd say. Most of them still live in South Africa. And, you know, when they think about what's possible for their future, it's somewhat contained and there's a certain ceiling to it. But knowing that I'm here in America and, you know, they have the perspective of like, wow, that's possible. Like we didn't even think that was possible. You know, like my grandma, you know, she was in the hospital getting a procedure done and she literally was watching the hospital TV and she saw me on the TV. And like, she was like, I couldn't even, I she's like, I don't even know what to make of that. 'Cause I'm like, wait, my grandson. And so she like told, you know, all my cousins and stuff like that. And like, it's that sort of thing where I think that my parents giving me that opportunity and me not taking that for granted and really embracing it and having gratitude for it is something that like has opened the door of possibilities for the younger generations that are coming after me. Yeah, it's just serendipitous, really.
I
I have to, oh,
I
I'm
was
2 seconds
gonna
away from crying my whole face
say
off.
I'm snapping, I'm clapping over here. It's beautiful to hear because like you said, like I my experience is exactly, is exactly what you said. It's just like you are the anomaly, and I had the other type of parent that was very much like doctor, engineer, like something else, not the arts, right? But then I think it was an interview that I heard you read or heard you give, and you said something along the lines like, this is like the only thing I think I'm good at. And like knowing that at such a young age is I don't know. I felt the same way about like entertainment and wanting to be a performer and being front, like hosting and stuff like that. And my parents just didn't get it, right? Even as my career progresses, they're still like, what do you do for work? And I'm just like, I don't know how to explain it to you. I don't know how to explain this to you. But that said, if you were to be able to go back to like, the Theo in high school that's just getting into this art program for the first time, what would be like the piece of advice or like guiding light that you would give, if anything? Because, like, those formative years when you're like really figuring it out, they make such an impact for the rest of your life. So if you could have told yourself one thing, what would it have been?
Probably stay present and just, you know, focus on the means as much as you focus on the end, you know, and know that the end is a product of, you know, how you use your time, energy, and intention moment by moment, day by day. And if you trust, you know, if you see the end for yourself, then trust it and keep it there. But every single day, just focus on, getting better as an artist, being present with the process, trusting the process. And ultimately the end will happen. Just we don't know when it is. And I think that a younger version of myself, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this too, is like you feel like you have something to prove. You feel like you're going against the grain. You feel like you have to make, you know, in my case, like you have to prove that your parents' support and sacrifices are worth it, you know, and you have to be the proof of concept essentially. And so you know, I carried that pressure, but it often made me lose the present moment. And I remember like when I was at NYU, I was so focused on like getting an agent and working, and but that a lot of times I just, you know, I wasn't present every single day going to school and training. But I needed that perspective. And now that I have that perspective, presence is such a big part of my life. Yeah, if I had to say one thing, I have a lot to say, but if I had to say one thing, that's what I'd say.
I love that you said that because it's beautiful, but also the idea of like a time travel version of you being like, be present, young one. Even though I'm in the past, be present. I'll see you later. See
That's
you in
really
20
funny.
years. Sorry, a little dumb segue
No, that's still.
for me. I'm so curious because when you're surrounded by massive talent that you probably grew up watching on TV,
So nuts. That's so
that's
nuts.
gotta be so crazy. And that's also like, it's not a small production, right? It's like this, it's one of Apple TV's probably highlight shows, right? What kind of like shaping does that do for your ability and your talent and your performance when you see veterans in the space kind of like who have been here for like decades or whatever, just working alongside them? Because I mean, you play Billy Crudup's assistant, you know? Like, I mean, like it's I remember watching him in Watchmen back when I was a kid, and so it's like that's Dr. Manhattan, that's awesome. So, I mean, how does that like on set vibe kind of like empower you as a performer, I guess?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is that, you know, there's all different types of sets out there and all different types of environments. And I think that when you experience, you know, different qualities of them, you know, when you have an opportunity to be on the morning show, that environment is so supportive and inclusive, and everyone has a voice. Everybody can, you know, their process is embraced. So it's been, you know, I've been on it for 2 seasons now. So I've got to watch, you know, the prolific actors that we're talking about, in the depths of their own processes. And each one is different and people work differently, but there's space for it all, which I really appreciate because especially someone like myself, you know, who is there, my character is a functionary character to help support other people's, you know, storylines. And you know, I have my own a little bit of my own arc, but really I'm there for Billy and to you know, make his life easier at all costs. But it's been really interesting to see how people, you know, have different work ethics, and people are open to ideas. And you know, especially Billy, because I work with him the most. His process is just riveting. Like I've learned so much just through osmosis. You know, being around him, he's collaborating with the. If he doesn't understand something, he's just open about it. He's like, you know, can you explain that? Why are we doing that? Where are we going with that? Blah 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 blah. And he's just such a master of the craft. I cannot tell you. I mean, there'll be times where we've prepared material and, you know, the set broke and now we have to switch to a different scene and he didn't prepare that material. And so, you know, he's on the fly just trying to make it work. And it's so funny that we're shooting something. You know, he's, we were, I was like, Billy, you're killing it. And he's like, I mean, I'm like, I'm doing it on the fly. And he's like, he said something along the lines of like, I don't know, maybe it's just like mediocre. And I was like, oh my God, that actually is so inspiring because somebody of his caliber and who has such a grasp on the craft can feel like maybe they're not you know, in the most confident place, which I'm sure all artists grapple with, you know. And I mean, he's won an Emmy for this role, you know what I mean? And still he's like, am I fully submerged in it? Yeah, I think that so many times I leave that set, I'm just like so inspired, and I'm just like, what? I got to sit in a room today with Jennifer Aniston or Reese Witherspoon or Billy or Holland Taylor, or Mark Duplass, and Greta. It's so amazing, really.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh man, that's like chilling. That's beautiful. That like that must feel like just a microbiome of sponging education to just sit in, right? Like, oh, you're constant. It's like your schooling never ends on that set. You're always notes, 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 notes. That's
Totally. And
incredible.
one thing I'll add to that is that, like that show is run by such powerful and thoughtful and aware of women. And I don't think that in this industry there's, enough of that. We need more of that because it is a clear-cut difference in terms of the quality of embrace and care that our production has because of who is leading the charge. From Mimi Leader to Jen to Reese and all the other, our showrunner. It's truly like for someone like myself, I think I might be the youngest cast member or one of the youngest cast members. For myself, I'm just taking notes constantly. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's beautiful. I can feel it too, like as a woman watching, also considering the subject matter of the television series in itself, like you can feel it. You can feel that it's really obvious when it's not taken care of in a way that's like said with love and respect. But you can feel that women were behind the scenes in the creating of this series. But kind of pivoting, I want to hear more about your roots though. Like your family is Indian, you come from South Africa. Like I want to hear kind of about it all and how it's like shaped you into the person you are today too. And I saw this bomb outfit you were, it was like Kwasi Paul or something, this South African design. Tell me more about all of that.
Well, girls, first I'll start there. So this d designer, Kwasi Paul, they are actually Ghanaian. Well, the director, his name is Sam, he's Ghanaian, his family's from Ghana. And when me and my stylist were working together for the SAG Awards, we were sourcing a few different things and we were trying on some stuff, and I put on the Kwasi Paul suit, and everyone in the room, the stylist, his assistant, the tailor that was there, everyone was like, whatever that is, that's it. I was like, yes, that's it. And then I was taking it off and I was getting ready to leave, and his assistant said, by the way, I think that the designer is also African. And I said, what? And I go and I research, and on their bio, on their website, they talk about how the concept for the brand is meshing African roots with like American influence. And that's my story. And so I just like, this is just fate. I am, totally just, this is meant to be. And obviously, like what I wore, I was just in total shock and awe that it was recognized. Multiple publications talked about it. And it was really cool. But to tie that back to like my story, in being from South Africa, being Indian, there's where I'm from in South Africa specifically is a place called Durban. And Durban actually has one of the densest, if not the densest, population of Indian people outside of India. So there's a huge Indian population in South Africa, but not a lot of people know that. Like growing up here, coming from that culture in that society, when I'd say I'm from South Africa, people would, I could, I mean, I can, it happens all the time to this day. People are like, oh, so are you black, or are you like, they don't know how to, and rightfully so, because if you don't know the demographics, then how would you know any different? So most of my life I had to explain to people like, so I'm Indian, but I'm from South Africa. And then I had to explain exactly what I just explained to you guys. So it's been so funny. And it's crazy because, like, I've been to India twice, but when I go to India, I have no family there. I actually like, I have a general sense of where my ancestors are from, which is like South India, but like I don't know anybody, or like, I don't, so like I'm going there with a tourist lens just as much as anybody else, even though I look like everybody. And it's really funny. Yeah, I mean, like, even like in South Africa, the Indian food is completely different than, I mean, yes, curry is curry and like biryani is biryani and stuff like that, but like the because when when my ancestors came there, the spices that were available to them were different. So the food a lot of times is spicier, but like a different type of spice, you know what I mean? Hits you
Yeah.
different. The type of like meats that are used are different, that sort of thing. But yeah, if you ever have the opportunity to go to South Africa, like go. It is a incredibly beautiful country. Like, don't get me wrong, the country has had massive challenges, but I mean, it has come such a long way. You know, and I think about like, you know, if you're familiar with the country's history, the apartheid and that sort of thing, like my parents grew up in like a completely segregated environment, and it was just like normal to them. Like sometimes they talk about their childhood, and I'm like, you understand what you just said, right?
That
You
wasn't good.
said, no, yeah, you just said that you weren't allowed to go to that beach. And they're like, yeah, we're allowed to go to that beach. So I was like, what do you like? For us, we just take our freedoms for granted, you know. But when I hear
Totally.
parents talk about it, it's just like, and so now to see that the country has come such a long way where there's like equality and people from different backgrounds and races are friends, and see my younger cousins, like, you know, their friends are white, black, Indian, like it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? So me and my fiance, we're getting married there in Cape Town,
Oh, yay.
yeah, next January. And I'm really excited because she has never been, she's never met my extended family. She only met like some family members that come to visit us here. But I've only described it in the same way I'm describing to you. And so like she's so curious to see, you know, it for herself. But yeah, I mean, I rep hard for South Africa. I mean, it's in my heart. I have dual citizenship. I consider South Africa home, you know. I just it's crazy. It's crazy.
That was a beautiful, poignant answer. But can I ask, can you do a South African accent at all?
Honestly,
It's like so specific. It's kind of hard.
it's hard. And if you hear my parents talk, like the Indian South African dialect is like this like amalgam of like an Indian accent mixed with like a South African Dutch accent. And it's like I can't even impersonate my parents, and I've been around them for like 31, you know what I mean? Like it's so hard because their accent is so unique in like the placement of it all. But it's always funny, like every time I've gone to South Africa to visit my family, like I'm there for maybe a week or two, and then I start to talk like that, and I'm like, what?
It's
You know
happening.
what I mean? But yeah, no, it's really hard. It's
It
really hard.
is. That's interesting that you mentioned that, because like my dad, he's Punjabi. He came from India, but then as soon as he got to America, he was like, I'm American now. And so my friends, when they meet him in like modern day, they're always just like, your dad doesn't really have like an Indian accent. But it's also not an American accent. It's like formed into its own kind of like Indo-American thing. And so whenever I like make jokes, you know, it's like in telling stories, I'll like put on like these hammy accents to play my parents. But it's like, truthfully, they don't sound like that. I don't know if they've ever sounded like that, you know? So that's an interesting point. I'm so curious to hear like what your parents sound like now.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because like my parents, even though we've been here for like 20 something years, like they still their accents are super thick. And my mom, for example, like my mom will not accept the fact that she's an American. She is an American. Like we
You've
are
been here
US.
long enough, 30
Yeah,
years,
but like
right? Yeah.
sometimes she'll call dollars rands, which is the South African currency, and I'm like,
That's great. Oh man. Well, I'm sure we could continue to talk to you for a very long time, but Ash, should we pass the mic, you think?
I just wanted to say one thing really quick, though.
Let's do
Like,
it, yeah.
you know what's so cool? I noticed in interviews, some people say things like, why do we have to talk about being Asian? Why do we have to talk about culture? Can't we just like have an interview about what I did in this movie or something? It is so beautiful to hear about you and your journey and your culture and just like hear all we all come from different cultures, but the things that we resonate with, it's like we're talking to the same people who have the same exact family. Like, it's
Yes.
such a beautiful, delicious like treat to be
Yeah.
able to have the privilege and the just also every time we talk about culture, there's some sort of historical aspect to it, right? And that's beautiful. Like we get to have
Yeah.
this educational conversation that involves like intersectionality and so many different facets of like life and our history and what's taken us to these places. And all of those things lead to where you are now. And you take those things into your character in the morning show, and you take those things into your characters and shortcomings. Like that's just so beautiful. And I'm so grateful that we learned that about you and that we got to have a little conversation about culture. It's just so great.
Oh no,
Ash, you
thank you.
spitting. You're spitting right now, Ash.
And I appreciate that, because I'm sure you guys, you know, resonate with it too. Is like, you know, growing up here, a lot of times we're the only ones who feel like us, look like us, talk like us, think like us based on our cultural conditioning, right? And it's confusing when you're a kid, because you're looking around, you're like, that's not my life though, or that's not my life. And people are judging you, and people are criticizing you, and you don't know how to make sense of it. And it's a complete, you know, identity crisis. And that was at least my experience, was that like a lot of times, like, I didn't know when to side with what part of me, you know, the shape-shifting nature of that. But I think that, like, doesn't matter what your cultural background is, we've all experienced some level of that. And I think now more than ever, especially like, you know, this podcast, it's a platform where we need to share our authentic lens on the world, because I feel like it's so human, you know, mm-hmm. as the world becomes more and more diverse, it's human. And it's like, me and my fiance always talk about, like, if we had kids, our kids technically would, even she's Italian American, like I said, but you know, our kids technically would be kids of color, you know, and me and my fiance don't necessarily have the same like cultural lens, but like we would have to harness that and like embrace that and champion that in our kid too. So yeah, it's such a beautiful time where we can, like, you know, share this and talk about this, and it can be appreciated more than it's ever been before.
There's so much, like, yeah, spitting. That's facts right here. But, you know, it is, doing this podcast, I mean, for Ash and I, has been so cathartic in a way, because, you know, we both grew up mixed race.
Yeah.
Like having existential crises and identity crisis, you know, like throughout our lives, not knowing if we're Filipino enough, Indian enough, you know. But that said, and hearing, you know, other people's stories, I mean, like you said, you're ethnically Indian. Nationality, you're an American, but also South African.
Yeah.
And yet we have so many parallels and intersections and things that we can learn from each other. So yeah, I'm here to help everyone in this room and beyond champion that notion, because, like, I always make the joke to people. I'm like, listen, the future's going to look like me and Ash.
Yes.
Everyone's going to be mixed, baby.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We're going to get that mocha goodness everywhere. Yes. Watch us.
Yes. But,
and so
I'm what your future kid's going to look like to you.
Yeah. You're right. That's amazing. You're right.
hey, we know one thing. It's going to be going to have a stunning smile. Oh. There we go. But, you know, Theo, to that end, one, we thank you for your time today. Thank you for making the time to join us on our podcast. But like I said at the beginning, something that we want to do is highlight whatever you have going on. So if there's something you want to promote, something that you want to share, or just a piece of advice to give to whoever's listening today, we're passing over the mic to you. This is your space to share whatever you want for the next.
Well, first I want to thank you guys for giving me the platform, because I don't take that for granted. And I think if I had anything to share, I mean, you know, obviously if anybody can or wants to watch a really incredible TV show, I am biased, but please watch The Morning Show. I'm also, you guys have referenced it a few times, but I'm in a film, Shortcomings. It's on Netflix, directed by Randall Park, and it's with Justin Min. A great modern rom-com that's a human story, and I think it's just genius. But what I can leave you with, if I were to offer a piece of advice, is I believe that we are all artists. And when you embrace the fact that you're an artist, my advice would be to view yourself and view your art as an offering, and that whether it's an offering to God, whether it's an offering to society, to culture, to humanity, whatever it is, whatever makes sense to you, whatever your paradigm is, when you take your ego self out of the equation and you view yourself as a vessel for artistic inspiration to flow through you, your offering is a service, can be healing, can be an aid to other people, to anybody who comes in touch with your art. And I think when you look at it from that lens, I think that art becomes something that isn't just for entertainment, which it can be, it's not just for fun, which it can be, but the purpose of art, the value of art becomes much deeper and much more intrinsic to each of our souls. And so I don't know. I think that's what resonates with me right now, and something that I can share.
You've been there's some great I was already like, man, that's a great soundbite. Oh, that'd be a great soundbite. Oh, that's gonna be a good soundbite. This whole interview, you very much appreciate your wisdom and your kindness. You seem to exude a very warm energy, and we're very grateful to have you on the podcast, man.
Thank you guys. I so
We are,
appreciate
oh gosh, we're running so behind on time, but this is such a great conversation. Like, this is, thank you so much.
No
Also, I feel
problem.
like we read the same books because I am.
Yep.
I see what you're putting down. I hear it. You said ego. I was like, huh? Yeah? What about it?
That's
Yeah.
so awesome that you guys know how to read. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get
Oh,
there.
we can teach you. We can teach you all.
The Tremendous Talk podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Giralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.